I've got it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. Lord God, I want to pray for the sick this morning. God, I want to pray for those that are sick mentally or relationally, even financially this morning. Lord God, I just give you glory and honor. You got such marvelous giftings in your people. God, won't you, in the name of Jesus, by the power of your own Holy Spirit, heal the sick this morning. Heal the sin sick this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus and by the power of your own Holy Spirit that lives in us, save, heal, and deliver us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Pastor Hattie, are you on the blog talk? Can you get on the blog talk this morning and press 1? I thank you for that. Okay, great. Brothers and sisters, wait a minute. Hold on. I see you. Yes, I do. Okay, I got your mic open. Just hold on a second. Can you hear me?
Okay, good morning, Candy. Blessings and good morning.
Okay, great. Just hold on a second. I used to command troops. I was one of those women. As a matter of fact, the year I got out of the Army is the year they went from the Women's Army Corps to the all-volunteer Army. They used to draft people, men, and I think they discontinued the draft in 1972. So I think it was in 1972 or 1975. I can't remember exactly. But anyway, at that time, the Army went all volunteer. So the only way you could get in the Army from then on, you had to volunteer. But you still, young men still had to register for the draft. So I had a very, very good, great Army career. Trust me, it doesn't get any better than what I had. But when I had to command troops, and that was very hard because you had people that had never been in the military. I think that's why I got out too, because I didn't like it. They'd never been in the military. They had, for the most part, led very unstructured and undisciplined lives. But when you take those troops like that, and you have to command them, there's a point in your command when you see your whole command come together. Because you've taken people that have been used to living, and young too, pretty radically and pretty independently. But the military has to take a person that's been living like that and turn them into a unit where you no longer live independently, where you no longer live unto yourself, and where you operate and think and function as a unit, as one. And that's what I used to do. Not for a long time, because like I tell you, when they gave me that assignment, that's when I got out. I didn't want to do that. And my time was up, so I did not re-enlist again that time. I got out. But I remember the extreme joy and pleasure I had when my unit, my command, finally came together and operated as one. And that's when you get a real fighting force or a real force for whatever. It could be supply or it could be quartermaster. when you come together as a unit, and then you're no longer even judged independently, because you're not seen independently, you're seen and treated as a unit. By that I mean, like, maybe most of you heard of the 1st Cavalry, 1st Cav down there in Fort Bliss, El Paso way. Or maybe you heard of like the Airborne Rangers or the Green Beret, Delta Force. Well, they don't operate independently. They operate as a unit. Navy SEALs, they operate as a unit. And then they're able to undertake a mission, and they're able to function as a unit. And when you get that, it's the same thing with a marching band. Those of you that were in the band, you know when the band comes together and all the instruments are following the band leader and doing what they're supposed to do without having to think about it, without having to have doubt or wonder or whatever. So I know what's required to build a unit like that. And I also know that it is the same thing in spiritual warfare. Only spiritual warfare is a little more, I won't even say harder, but it's just different. Because in spiritual warfare, your enemy is spirits. And they're invisible. But the effects of what they do is made real in this physical realm. So it's difficult for the people who have always had a radical, rebellious life to understand what God is doing. God is making you part of a kingdom, his kingdom on earth. And so I'm always looking for those signs, okay? And so yesterday, as I told you when I went back and I apologized to that one headliner, and they accepted my apology, and they said to me, "Well, I didn't see anything you did wrong." Well, of course they're not going to see it, but God saw it, because the whole process was new. And the whole process is new to you. And that's why I'm always telling you, don't fake it. Stop faking it. You can't fake this. You can't fake it. You can fake it. You know, it used to be an old saying, like, fake it till you make it. That doesn't work in the kingdom of God. Because God knows what you don't know. God knows what you know. God knows where he's leading you, where you ain't never been before, and you don't know how to get there on your own. And not only do you not know how to get there on your own, you don't know how to sustain yourself there. Because the only person who can sustain you there and get you there is God himself. So I have a tendency to step back. Because I learned a long time ago when I was on the foreign mission field, if a person does not hear God and you trying to minister to them, you're wasting your time. If a person does not desire to know God, you're wasting your time. Because I know and understand that it's not me. It ain't never been me. It is God. So I'm always looking to see where in the life of the person I'm ministering to or even talking to, where is God? Where is God in the life of that person? And is it real? Because, see, remember I was telling you about boundaries. I understand boundaries. I understand when you cross a boundary. I understand when a person doesn't have boundaries in their life. And I understand how difficult it's going to be for a person without boundaries and a rebellious person to get to the fullness, if ever, of God. So yesterday, after we got off the line, I sat here and I prayed. I pray all the time. I might be talking to you and praying at the same time. That's how my prayer life is. I'm talking to you like I'm talking right now, but I'm listening to God, and I'm open to hear from God at the same time while I'm talking to you, because that is my relationship with God. And I can't expect anybody else until God makes them into the person with a personal relationship with him. So I sat here for a minute and I prayed. And God said, now I'm going to show you hidden mysteries. And I kind of set up And I wanted to hear that again. I didn't say nothing. Brother Joe was in here. Jose was over there. He said, now I'm going to show you the hidden mysteries. You see, I ain't never been a person to look for no hidden mysteries. The Bible, just as it is fine with me. Literally, fine with me. But I know that God is a revealing God. But you see, inside of me, I ain't never been concerned about no hidden mysteries, really. As he said that to me, he said, Hattie has been praying for this. And I'm going to show you the hidden mysteries. I said, Hattie has been praying for this? He said, yeah. He said, call her up. So then I picked up my cell phone. And I said, Pastor Hattie, I said, God just told me that you been praying for the hidden mysteries. And he's going to show me the hidden mysteries and for me to call you up. She said, now you take it from there, Pastor Hattie. When you got that call from me.
When she reached out to me yesterday morning, I had just got home from taking my daughter to school, but on the way home, I started praying for God to show me the signs, show me the things, show me the mysteries, show me what's going on with my entire family, not just the people that are in my household, not just my children and my husband, but my family. And I asked him to show me what was going on and why. I mean, so many people in my family are sick. And it started with my cousin I went to see yesterday at the hospital. She's 42 years old. The doctor had to amputate two toes, one off of each foot. And she had already had amputations on her hand, like a couple of her fingers are missing. And I'm like, Lord, you got to show me what it is I need to do to save my family. And I said, Lord, help me, guide me, whatever it is you need me to do to save my entire family. And I tell you, on the way home, I had to pull over because I got sick. I started throwing up and crying, you know, tears. They were sad and they were happy tears at the same time, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know it's what it's going to require. Because we're talking about my whole family, not just the people that live in this household or my children that I gave birth to. We're talking about my uncles, my cousins, and it's a lot of us. And it's just like, it's a division. And I just had to pray for them, not just me,
mm-hmm.
but for them. And it's sad because when I had the conversation with her on yesterday, the last time I saw her was at one of my other cousins' funeral.
Mm.
And she was, you know, from taking so many medications, pain medications, you name it, she took it. And that was almost a year ago was the last time. Over a year last time I saw her. But she reached out to me 2 nights ago. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. She texted me telling me she in the hospital and giving me accolades of, you know, some of the accomplishments over my life. And she said, please call me as soon as possible. So when I called her, and I hadn't talked to her over a year, we stayed on the phone talking about God and Jesus and her life and her transformation for 2 hours. 2 hours. And it's like, Lord, when I was leaving the school from dropping my daughter off, all that came back up, what we talked about, her testimonies, her life, everybody else's life that's in my family and what they're dealing with, even the children. I said, Lord, you got to show me what it is you need me to do. I need your help. I need you to help me save my family. And when I finally made it home, that's when I got a call from Dr. Erica asking me if that's what I prayed for. And I said, yes. I said, yes, it is. And it was like so amazing that how the Holy Spirit will move, how God will move when you become in alignment with each other.
Mm-hmm. And see, what I didn't say was, as I was sitting in this chair, Brother Joe and Jose were watching God deliver me. God delivered me sitting right in this chair yesterday. I don't even know what from, but I know that after he did it, he said, I'm going to reveal to you the hidden mysteries. And then he said, Hattie prayed for this. Hattie has been praying for this. And I said, okay. I mean, you got to understand, stuff like this scares me. It might not scare you, but it scares me. It scares me. It's a holy fear. It's a reverential fear that, mm-hmm. Oh, God, this is how you work with Paul. You told Paul over here, who was Saul, and then you told Ananias over there, and I was just struck with almost like a paralyzing revelation. And so then when she said, yeah, she said, I just prayed. And I just said, okay. You see, you know when your unit is coming together. You know when your unit is coming together. You know when the troops that you've trained are beginning to function as a unit. When God does things like this, I wasn't praying for no mysteries because I wasn't looking for none, and I wouldn't have even thought about praying. I wouldn't have even thought about that God has to or is about to. But you see, that's why the Bible says one body fitly joined together, and all of us have been rebels, including me. All of us have been operating by ourselves and waiting on God to tell us what to do. So God, after I sat there, after I hung up with Minister Hattie, then Minister Hattie say, I've been praying for you. God, why is she so mean? I mean, what was the word to you?
Hard, rough.
Hard. That's the word, hard.
And I said, well, maybe it's the military. And I said, but I know our connection is divine. I just got to hang on in there.
And you
there
know.
There many times. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Tell that part.
There were many times that the enemy tried to make me lead a deadline. But I said, no, I got to be there. I got to hang on in there. It's going to get better. And then I said, well, you know, being in ministry, I understand sometimes you got to set boundaries for people that don't have any boundaries and they never had none. So I understand. And I said, well, I got to hang on in there. And I hope she knows that I love her. like she was my own family. Because she is my family.
And so then I went back again and read some testimonies. And I thank God. And I was thanking God. And I heard the Lord say, I'm going to give you one word before the funeral. I said, oh, okay. Remember now, the funeral for Ted Lyon is coming up soon. And trust me, I already got the websites up. I already have done what I need to do. So I asked God, what was the one word? The one word, brothers and sisters, write this down. And keep this in mind the rest of this year. God is going to, oh, the scripture he gave me was 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 through 9. And yesterday, remember, he gave me Colossians 1, 26. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 6 through 9. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Amen. But it didn't end there. God say, you can write this down and look it up when you get time. I'm going to need you to read Isaiah 41. And I'm going to need you to read, I got this, all these hard copies. It's all coming together. That's what I was doing. I was printing it out. The other one was Zechariah. I think it was Zechariah. Okay. 4. Zechariah 4. Zechariah 4. But the one word, I need 12 people to write this word in the chat room. A-C-C-E-S-S. Access. 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 A-C-C-E-S-S. God is going to give us access. Access. A-C-C-E-S-S. God is going to provide us and give us access to manifest who we are and who we represent. Access to understand his order on earth as it is in heaven. Access to the kingdom of God. Access to understanding of the kingdom of God within us and demonstrating kingdom power within our sphere of influence. Access to the blessings of Abraham's covenant and alignment. Access to his mysteries held in his word, in order that there would be a revival of the word of God in the body of Christ. I need you same people to write this. And remember when God gave it the other day. God gave us Jesus to demonstrate his heart and his mind to us. God gave us Jesus to demonstrate his heart and his mind to us so that he could give us access to a new timing linked with his harvest. Access to understanding the operation of God in heaven and earth in order to mobilize an army for war. Access. God has poised us to gain access to his understanding in our land. The war is over our inheritance of our future on earth. And God is going to give us access to go beyond ourselves so that we can fulfill his mission and the destiny that he has for each and every one of us. God is going to give us access. Now this got me here. To the council of war. And he's going to give it to us through the mind of Christ. And he's going to give us access to a mind to triumph. He's going to give us access to overcome everything that stopped our progress. Access to hidden power over the enemy. Access. Access. Then he gave me 2 Corinthians 10, 3-6 again. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. It's going to give us access to the spiritual weapons of our warfare. Access to power over the enemy. God is going to give us, and he's giving us now, access said, as we enter this season of access, we must rely on his Holy Spirit. And we must rely on Jesus as our rear guard as we advance. He said, unless his Holy Spirit is enfolded in the history of any land and continues its covenant with God, he said evil will overtake that society. Access. Access. I think you ought to agree with me and say, thank you, Jesus. I receive that access. Bring it on, God. Bring it on. Access. Access. Access from God. Access. Access. Access.
He'll make it all right.
Getting ready to sign off access. Those of you that sent me the testimonies, your $100 is going out today. If you sent me your testimony, you got it. And as I told you, I told them I was keeping the money, and I'm sending the money out to the people that sent those testimonies, because that's what they told me to do up until the point I told them, no doubt, none, I don't want nothing to do with it, not interested going forward with God. So look for a little package coming priority mail. If you sent me the testimony, if you didn't, then you don't have to look for it. Praise God. But if you sent me that testimony, your money will be, and I'm loving it because it's going to go through the airways to you from here to you. And it's coming priority mail. So you'll have it in, for just say 2 to 3 days. I feel so good. James Brown ain't got nothing on me. I feel good. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na.
He'll make it all right.
Access granted.
Whatever you want.
Whatever you want.
God is able.
God is able.
Whatever you need.
Whatever you need.
He'll supply.
He'll supply.
Whatever is broken.
Whatever is broken.
He can fix it.
He can fix it.
No need to worry.
No need to worry.
He's alive.
He's alive.
Whole church, he'll make it all right.
Stir my faith. I was there.